Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Commander Eric Popiel, Program Manager of the U.S. Coast Guard's Evergreen Program. Also joining my conversation from the IBM Center for the Business of Government is John Kaminsky. So, Eric, we're often confronted with wicked and complex challenges. How would you characterize such challenges, and what are the key attributes that make them wicked or complex?
So I think we deal with a lot of these challenges. I think the critical attributes of these is that your resources change. You never have complete knowledge of the actual problem. Generally speaking, the people that are involved and the stakeholders hold some radically different worldviews when it comes to addressing these challenges. And I don't think you ever solve the problem definitively. So I think that looking at some of those problems, for example, the international drug trafficking for the Coast Guard is one, is that it's tough to solve it or even get people on board with a sort of solution. Now, what I think you can do with various strategies, and I think you can use scenario-based planning to do this, is to sort of mitigate some of the issues and some of the problems that are around these. I know that the Coast Guard has been tossing the idea around of what happens if the drug mission goes away. That's one of those things where, you know, maybe 20 years ago, we wouldn't have even looked at it as even an option. But as you look at the trend towards legalization of marijuana, and maybe there's a trend towards legalization of other drugs, a mission that has been the Coast Guard sort of bread and butter for a long time that we've probably had a significant impact on, we certainly haven't solved, potentially could go away. And I think that looking at some of those future scenarios would help the Coast Guard look at a wicked problem, but also go, hey, what happens if that problem sort of goes away? And then plan for, you know, it's not going to go away overnight. But if it goes away in the next 10 to 15 years, we got to be ready for that. And how are we going to adjust our service and our core mission set to adapt to that?
Well, that's a good segue to something that's actually happened, which is that the Coast Guard has adopted an Arctic strategy. What did Evergreen do to contribute to that?
Right. So currently, I think that you'd have to go all the way back to the initial Evergreen, maybe all the way back to 1998, and identifying, number one, the concept of maritime domain awareness. I think that was critical. If you fast forward a few years to 2009, one of the strategic needs that came out of Evergreen was a Coast Guard need to have a greater polar mission capacity. So I think while it's difficult to sit there and say Evergreen, said we should go to the Arctic and we should do X, Y, or Z in a sort of a prescriptive manner, I don't think we did. But I think what we did was identify some of these mission sets and some of these operating areas that we need to function. So I think that we probably got some leadership and some Coast Guard thinking more about it as opposed to what we've been doing business as usual. We've been going to the Arctic and the Antarctic for a lot longer than Evergreen's been around. But I'd like to think that placing an emphasis on that domain and saying, hey, listen, this is something that we're going to have to be wrestling with and tackling with, especially in light of climate change, is something that Evergreen, I think, would influence just a little bit. And while, like I said, we didn't write the strategy, sort of guiding people in the right direction is, I think, what we do best.
So from the Arctic to cybersecurity, which is a very important the thing to take seriously today, how did Evergreen inform and shape the Coast Guard's cybersecurity strategy?
So again, going back to where we Evergreen understanding, you know, what domains we need to be operating in, I think that I could point to some strategic needs that said, hey, listen, this is a domain that's coming up. And to be fully honest, I think that we were probably a little late on that, quite frankly. Like I said, I don't think foresight is not the golden goose, and it's not the magic wand. If I went back and looked in preparation for this, you know, I think we identified cyber maybe eight, 9 years ago. That's great, but I think, quite frankly, we're probably a little late, in all honesty. Now, what I would say is that, so identifying that is good, but what we ended up doing with an Evergreen workshop was we looked at the cyber strategy we had currently written. We looked at the implementation team and what they were doing. We looked 10 years out into the future and said, hey, what do we think the cyber environment is going to look like, and what do we think the Coast Guard needs to do to be ready for it? And then what we did was we took those strategic needs and those key success factors and mapped them back to the current strategy that's already in place. Where there were commonalities, we said, hey, look, you're right in alignment. We think that this strategy is actually working. Where there were some additional opportunities, we communicated those to the implementation teams. And then, you know, we published a report that said this is sort of what we need to focus on. And what we're hoping is that when comes time to refresh that cyber strategy, Evergreen will play a role in looking at plausible operating environments and helping to once again inform the direction of that strategy.
What about this year's efforts to refresh the Coast Guard strategic needs document, especially in the context of the new administration's request the agencies develop reform plans and stuff? So.
Yeah. So what we're in the process of doing now is we are looking at recompeting a contract to sort of what I would like to call Big Evergreen, which is Coast Guard writ large sort of global scenarios. The last 2 years, we've done cyber and we've done Arctic, which are a little bit more topical. I think that's key, and I think it's good to do that. But I would like to get back to sort of the overall topic of Big Evergreen. And so what we're doing is we're doing a lot of market research right now, and we're taking a look at who can help us out on the contracting side. And we're also taking a look at, you know, what the current trends are in terms of, you know, we have a new administration. We have a lot of other things that are going on. So what we hope to do is to once again develop some scenarios. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We have some that are built, and we can probably work off of those and say, hey, how can we tweak these just a little bit? But we do want to incorporate some of the major events that have happened and potentially could happen in the near future. So our goal is to, in a 4-year sort of planning cycle, is to develop some strategic needs and then hand these products not to the commandant that's coming up that's going to relieve Admiral Zunkov, but whoever's going to relieve that person, and hand that to them in the November, you know, 2021 sort of time frame, and hopefully those products will help influence their strategic direction for the Coast Guard.
Now, there is a broader network of individuals across the federal government that are doing strategic foresight, and other agencies are also doing strategic foresight planning and looking for drivers. Is there any like network that reaches across, and we'll talk more about the Federal Foresight Community of Interest a little later, but is there some sort of sharing of these drivers and things?
So I think it's on an informal basis there is. I think that, and like I said, we'll talk a little bit more, but that network of that community of interest is pretty well networked. And I know I tap them on many occasions to ask for their insights. A lot of the products that come out of that are certainly passed around to the various other agencies. So there is a sharing that goes on among these foresight practitioners. I do think that foresight is sort of a kind of a grassroots movement right now. When I came to Washington 4 years ago, I assumed that every agency in the federal government was thinking 20, 30 years out and planning big things, and I was mistaken. I don't say that as a slam on agencies or any of this sort of stuff, but I just thought that people thought a lot more long term. And the reason why I thought that is that for the most of us, all of us think long term, right? We buy a house and we have a 30-year mortgage. We put money in a 401k expecting to retire 40 years from now. It seems like every person or a lot of people in this country have a long term mentality. And then when we get sort of into our institutional, our work environment, we all of a sudden go right to the present and go, how do I survive? So to me, I think it's a little bit of grassroots, but I do think that the community is growing. I think that there are more and more agencies and entities in the federal government that are employing strategic foresight. And I have a myriad of examples of where I've been asked to, you know, help out to help out programs or provide some assistance. I just got an invitation from a lady up at the Naval Undersea Warfare Center in Newport that wants to figure out who's who in the public sector sort of foresight arena. And sort of start bringing all of these people together. And I think that I'm not sure exactly what the group is going to do, but I looked at it. My email back to her was, this is a tremendous partnership opportunity. We've got these folks in D.C., and you're looking at folks up in Newport. What's the synergy there, and how can we bring this to the attention of our senior leaders?
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that. But I'd like to get back to the Evergreen process per se, and that is, how are you helping the commandant and the folks running the Coast Guard with force planning construct?
And so we're involved in more of an ancillary role right now. What ended up happening was we are forging ahead on a force planning contract. We got some contractors working with us and some folks in our office that are doing the lion's share of the work on that. What Evergreen's contribution at the beginning was developing some plausible futures and then some plausible events that we could look at testing a future force on. So the part of the force planning construct is scenarios. And what we were helpful in doing was developing and identifying sort of scenarios and what some plausible events were would be in the future, so that when a force is developed by the program, they'll be able to sort of test it against various operating environments and sort of identify various risks, where it works, where it doesn't, and that sort of stuff. So while we're not intimately involved in that process, we're standing by to help. And like I said, our office is sort of one of those things where at times we run our own programs, but there are certain times it's all hands on deck and everybody pitches in to help.
Well, you know, you mentioned if a mission goes away, yep, or if in your response to the wicked challenge, is the force construct or the force planning construct, is that related to, say, a mission changing its shape or maybe even being jettisoned, or is it not related at all?
I don't have an incredible amount of knowledge on that, so I don't want to comment too much. I think that they may be looking at it, but for now, what they're looking at is predominantly the 11 statutory missions that the Coast Guard has. Mm-hmm. But I think that ultimately a force planning construct will be robust enough to, you know, take some evergreen inputs and go, hey, listen, how would we have to adjust potentially if missions went away or if we added a mission? It's not just taking a mission away, but it could be adding a mission as well.
So this is a follow-on kind of to the design thinking response that we talked about earlier. But how does that process, the evergreen process currently constituted, how does it build consensus and teamwork?
I think it brings a lot of folks together is the first thing. And I think what it does is it enables people to kind of step outside of their comfort zone and identify and let their voice be heard and then sort of identify these things. I think the rigor behind it, when you present your findings to a group of senior leadership, number one, it's not a bunch of guys in a smoke-filled room that said, this is what we think should happen. It's a bunch of very smart individuals and subject matter experts for that matter. I am not a subject matter expert on all things Coast Guard. That's not my job description. I think I'm a little bit more on the aviation side of the house, but when it comes to boats or law enforcement, I'm not an expert, but I do know where to look. And so when we engage in these workshops, when we engage in coming up with these ideas, we're tapping that Coast Guard supercomputer and asking these people who are experts to do it. So when you present these things as a unified front, senior leadership can look at this and go, this was done in a rigorous, repeatable way. And they can present a unified front as well, too, if they want to go down a road. So you can build consensus with dialogue and discussion in a workshop. You can present a unified front and you can tell senior leadership, we have done this and the process itself is sound and it's repeatable and the recommendations are good.
What is the mission of the Federal Foresight Community of Interest? We will ask Commander Eric Popiel, Program Manager of the U.S. Coast Guard's Evergreen Program, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.